Good afternoon, and welcome to Federated National Holding Company's fourth quarter 2012 financial results conference call. My name is Saeed, and I will be your operator today. Please note that today's call is being recorded. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. Also, be advised that callers should limit their questions to allow others some time as well. You may reenter the queue with additional questions. Before we begin today's call, I would like to read the safe harbor statement. Statements in the conference call that are not historical facts are forward-looking statements without limiting the generality of the foregoing words such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, probably, pro forma, project, seek, should, target, or will, or the negative thereof, or other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties included, but not limited to, the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call or press release issued today and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements to reflect new information, future events or circumstances, or otherwise. Now, at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Braun, Chief Executive Officer and President of Federated National Holding Company. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Federated National Holding Company's fourth quarter and year-ending December 31st, 2012 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Pajelski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results for the quarter and the year can be found in our earnings press release. I will go over some brief highlights from the quarter, and then Pete and I will open up the line for questions. 2012 full-year highlights include net income of $4.3 million, compared with a loss of $400,000 in 2011. Gross written premiums increased by $21.2 million, or 21.6%, compared with the same 12 months the prior year. Net premiums earned increased by $10.9 million, or 22.3%, compared with the same 12 months the prior year. Growth of unearned premiums at year-end increased by $11.1 million, or 23.1%, compared to December 31st, 2011. Book value per share increased to $8.26 at December 31st, 2012, compared with $7.32 at December 31st, 2011, a 13% improvement. Homeowners policy count grew from 43,793 at the start of 2012 to 61,102 at December 31st, 2012, a 40% increase. Continued improvement in underwriting results. Loss ratio improved by to 50.9% for the full year 2012, compared with 63.7% for the full year 2011. I am pleased to announce that the board has also approved a dividend increase of 50%. The dividend of $0.03 per share will be paid on June 3rd, 2013, to shareholders on record as of May 6th, 2013. This action reflects both our commitment to returning capital to our shareholders and the board's confidence in our business plan. With that, we are glad to open up the call to your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. If you'd like to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our first question comes from William Myers from Miller Asset Management.
Hi, William. How are you?
I'm good. Congratulations on the quarter. I would just like you to talk about the, I think it was roughly $800,000, assessment that was in the quarter that it had been announced earlier. But could you give us some historical context for that and any thoughts about whether those kinds of assessments can occur in the future and the magnitude of them?
Sure. There's always a risk of assessments in Florida, whether it's from FIGA, which deals with insolvent companies, or the FHCF, which is reinsurance, or Citizens, for that matter. So that threat's always there. Unfortunately, the $800,000 was our share of a company that went down a few years ago, and they needed about $47 million to run off its book of business. It's a company that wrote a significant amount of business in areas that were prone to sinkholes. And they went through all their surplus and obviously came up short. I don't know that I don't believe there's anything pending out there that would indicate that we have any other assessments coming. But that's going to be fully recovered through our rate action. And basically, once that was paid, we went and filed it with the state. And then we have the ability to recover it over the following approximately 12 months. And there's some movement on there based on how we project our business to be. It could go a little bit longer or a little bit shorter.
Okay, just to follow up then, when are you likely to know about the rate increase?
In terms of the rate increase, it is pending right now, has yet to be approved, but it's a very routine matter. So in other words, that $800,000 would come back. I'm going to oversimplify it. Let's just say $800,000 over 12 months, it would come in equal portions. That's not entirely true, but just to oversimplify that. And that would come, that should be approved in short order. And like I said, we'll recover all that money over the next 12 months.
Okay, well, thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you, William.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Doug Ruth from Lennox.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Mike. It was a beautiful report. Could you expand on the your four pillars that you're talking about here and tell us a little bit more, maybe give us a little more color?
Yeah, really. Excuse me, of a slight cough. Really, the main things that we continue to focus on is just disciplined underwriting, risk management, controlling of our expenses and our distribution. Our underwriting, as we've been talking about for the last 2 to 3 years, is very disciplined, and it's not difficult to write business in Florida. I've said that numerous times. And it's to write profitable business. That's the key, and sustainable profitable business. In terms of risk management, our number one expense being in Florida is reinsurance. So we want to make sure that we can afford to buy the correct amount of reinsurance based on the premium that we're getting for that policy. So you have to have the ability to perform analytics on that to ensure that new business or renewal business is coming in profitably. And also controlling expenses. I think we're very disciplined in that regard and run a lean operation. And our distribution. Our distribution is our agents. They're our partners. I was an agent before I joined the company back in 98. And they're critical to our success. So we want to make sure that we're providing great service not only to the insured, who's our customer, but also the agent, who's our customer as well, to ensure that we're providing timely service and we're competitive with our prices in the marketplace and handling our claims in a timely manner and in a fair manner.
One of the things that I read, you had stated that now you had some restrictions on where you could sell insurance in Florida, and now it seems like some of those restrictions have been removed. Could you maybe give us a little color on that issue?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the last earnings call, I said that we were doing approximately $1 million a week of new business. And now we're seeing that increase significantly. Right now we're doing about $2 million a week of new business, which is a significant improvement. But now we're not really chasing the market. And what I mean by that is we're remaining tight to our discipline and ensuring that we're writing the correct business. But I think that we have the ability to ramp up the business even more. So let's just say we have about approximately $120 million book of business that's renewing based on normal retention rates. On top of that, I think that we're going to go from $2 million. We may approach $2.5, $3 million a week of new business. Now, that still has to go through the actual underwriting process and so on. So I would anticipate, let's say, 80 to 85% of that would stick on the books. Renewals, I tend to anticipate about 90%. So we're seeing it's always easy to write the premium in Florida, but what we're seeing now is the market's really come to us, and I think it's because of our competitive rates, our quality service, and our people. We have 124 people now that are really committed to good service and being there for our policyholders when they need us.
One of the things that you had mentioned before was that Citizens rates were going up higher than Federated's. Could you explain how that's benefiting the company?
Absolutely. We're definitely seeing more, we're very competitive in the marketplace. The business that I prefer and most companies go after tends to be that performs better, I should say, tends to be the higher value coverages, higher value coverage A, and that's the value of the structure. And newer homes do better. We're very competitive in that. We've targeted that for quite a while. And where anyone can really see that is there's a website that the state has where people can do their own comparison shopping, and it's called Choices. So if you were to go on the OIR's website or Google the words Florida Insurance and Choices, you'll see it. But in the 67 counties, for new construction, we're one of the most competitive companies out there. We're always in the top five. I would say in most, if not all, of the counties listed. So we have the ability to write the correct business, and that leads us to a more efficient reinsurance buy as well. New construction is built much better. If you put two homes next to each other, one from the 70s, that's frame and could be particle board roofing and 3-in-1 shingles, and then you put next to that a concrete block with a hip roof and barrel tile and straps, it's going to react differently in a storm. And the need for reinsurance is much lower on that newer construction. It's going to perform better. So that older construction, you may have a $50,000, $75,000 loss, and the newer construction, you may have a $5,000 loss. So the need for reinsurance is much less. We're less volatile based on the needs in the reinsurance market. And really, we're attracting that quality business.
That sounds wonderful. What about this deal that you signed with Allstate? Can you put any color or can you have any projections on that at all?
Sure. Allstate has a limited number of partners that they allow carriers to write homeowners' business in their Florida agency. In their Florida agencies. And we're now one of them. And as I said earlier, we're doing about $2 million a week right now. We really don't have many of the Allstates turned on yet. Basically, it's about 700 agents in Florida, and we anticipate those good quality agents are going to continue to feed us with new business that will be advantageous to us, as well as to Allstate and their agents, as well as the insureds. So I think that's going to help us continue to grow our business.
That sounds wonderful. Mike, you've done everything that we can ask as shareholders, and we're looking forward to the next report, and thank you for answering my questions.
Doug, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Samir Kher from Capital Returns Management.
Hi, Samir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks.
Good. I've got a few questions. The first is, you said you guys are writing about $1 million, what was that, a month? $2 million a month?
No. What we have is our in-force book, let's just call it approximately $120 million. So you're talking that's renewing as normal. But on a weekly basis, we're binding about $2 million a week of new business.
Okay.
It's coming in. Just to give you some other comparable math, in 2011 we were doing about $500,000 a week. In 2012 we did about $1 million a week. And right now we're at about $2 million a week. So we're seeing great demand for our product. And some of that is just a change in the marketplace. I think some of our competitors have struggled in some areas where we're really shining and we're able to write that business. We've got the surplus to do it, and the agents are happy to be with us. So I think that it's a great opportunity.
Okay. Is some of that coming by way of opening new zips, or is it kind of the same areas that you guys were looking at before?
Yeah, well, the only change that we've had this year is we've opened up some additional areas in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because we now are able to, we were able to have our new forms updated. So we've been able to write more business in the Tampa-St. Pete area, where in the past we had Tampa-St. Pete, effectively that was closed for about 10 years. And that hurt us significantly in the sense of growing top line. However, it was the right thing to do. Some of our competitors are getting hit very hard with these sinkhole claims, and it continues to be an issue today. Now with better language, we can go in those areas, and we'll cover what's called catastrophic collapse, but we won't be covering very often. We won't be covering sinkholes. And that's just a small, may sound like a small definition difference, but catastrophic collapse is when you see a significant sinkhole, similar to what you've seen in the media lately. However, sinkhole claims are very numerous, and they're very costly, separate from catastrophic collapse. So what we're doing is we're writing business in that area that is covering normal homeowner-type risks, but catastrophic collapse and not sinkhole.
Okay, and presumably you guys are writing similar risk profile, same average premium, same kind of cat profile as your, I guess, your core book in these new codes?
Well, what you'll find is that's a great question because there's a couple things. South Florida has much higher premiums, and unless you live in Florida, these numbers may sound even higher than you may anticipate. But South Florida premiums can come in $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and in Central Florida and North Florida, the premiums can come in $500 to $700. So it really varies, and it's not that they're so much more profitable in South Florida. South Florida has a huge reinsurance component to it. So statewide, we're seeing our average premium non-tri-county about $1,200, tri-county about $1,800, and statewide about $1,500. Those are rough numbers. I mean, it really kind of fluctuates in different geographic parts, but clearly South Florida has higher premium, average premium per policy.
Okay. And then just looking at the 700 agents you guys will be appointing from Allstate, what is the premium potential there? I know you kind of touched upon it a little bit before, but...
Well, I can't say for sure, but obviously there's potential there. Our book has ramped up from about $1 million a week of new business just since the beginning of the year to $2 million, and we still have other voluntary agents that would like to write business with us, and we have a process that we go through before we appoint them. We've become sought after by many agents. So I do believe we may approach $2.5 to $3 million a week of new business. And once again, I want to stress that this is not some top-line number that we're chasing. That is not the point at all. I truly believe that the market has come to us and our product, and it's working very well for us. But I would say as we sit here today, we're writing $2 million a week. I think it could ramp up to $2.5 to $3 million a week with a combination of different factors.
Okay. And just turning to reinsurance, I know it's still probably early days, but come 6/1/71, when you guys look at your homeowners reinsurance, what do you guys anticipate? How big of a tower would you think you'll buy? What will the retention kind of look like, and what kind of costs are you guys looking at?
Well, I would say the main thing you'd want to look at is a percentage of premium. Excuse me. And I think we're going to be in the low 40s again as a percentage of premium. I'm just going to say roughly 42% is a real rough number. In terms of how much cover, last year we bought approximately $250 million of cover. This year I anticipate around $300 million. But that number is fluid, and the reason I say that is because about 90 days ago I would have said that number was probably closer to $275. But with the volume of business that we're writing, obviously that requires more reinsurance. So in terms of the actual cost, last year's program was approximately $42 to $43 million. I don't want you to get too caught up in terms of how much dollar amount we're actually going to spend out, but as a percentage of premium, I think you're going to be we're looking at a ballpark of low 40s, 40, 41, 42%. It could be as high as 43 or 44%. But we're comfortable that the reinsurance market is there's adequate capital. There's no doubt about that. I've had more reinsurers visit me this year than I've ever had. And the capacity that we're stating we need is not an issue with any reinsurer that we've met with to this point.
All right, great. And just one last question. Are takeouts still off the table? It certainly seems like you don't need it, given your top-line growth.
You know, I'm not a fan of takeouts. I'm really not. And the biggest reason is I think our voluntary is working very well. And I would say if we're writing $2 million a week, we're doing a $100 million takeout is what you could say. But what and we're not doing a take-up, but I'm just saying to draw a comparison. What I like about voluntary business is we underwrite it policy by policy, and the word I use with voluntary is it's sustainable. It's quality business that's sustainable. The DPOP, I don't think the system works, and I think you're going to see a change by citizens with that. And what I mean by that is the great majority of citizens' policies are not profitable for citizens. For a carrier that's not citizens, a private carrier, they need premium that's a roughly 15% higher to maintain the same combined ratio because the state has certain advantages. I don't believe that citizens, the majority of those policies, as I've said, are not profitable. I don't believe there's another 15% of margin in there. The main benefit you get from citizens is you get a boost in earnings short term. It's a tremendous boost. And what that means is from the day you do a DPOP, if you do it in December, and people do DPOPs in December right after the wind season, and the reason that for that is because it's the end of the wind season and you've already have your reinsurance cost in hand. But now you're going to do a DPOP and you get a lot of free earned premium. And I say free, it's earned premium without reinsurance expense or without acquisition expense for the first roughly six months or so. So those expenses typically eat about 50% of premium, and you don't have those when you do a DPOP. My problem with citizens' DPOPs is I don't believe it's a good sustainable model, and it tends to lead towards more DPOPs, which I believe perpetuates a bigger problem that you have to deal with at some point. I like voluntary. I think it's better quality. I think it's sustainable, and I think it will show in the long term that it's a much better business plan.
Great. Thanks for the answers.
All right. Thank you, Samir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from David Spear from Nitor Capital.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Very well.
So great quarter. Very impressed that you guys are now writing about $2 million in new business a week. I was just curious, is this purely homeowners insurance, the $2 million?
We're just talking about homeowners. Our GL is actually up 25%, and I think we can increase that as well. And the reason I would attribute that to is I think it's fantastic service that we provide. I think our rates are competitive. But I will be honest and say that the market is improving in the state, that's affording us the ability to get more business. The contractors are working more frequently. But our GL is absolutely up. It's up about 25% right now.
But I mean, if you look at even the press release, I mean, your loss ratios are obviously, you know, far better in the homeowners. So why wouldn't you more shy away from the other lines and just focus purely on the homeowners, which has, you know, loss ratios around 50%, and if excluding your other lines,
excuse me,
far better overall.
Well, there's other expenses, and let me just go. It's more detailed, but let me say it this way. Let's say homeowners, just ballpark, if we say 45% goes to reinsurance, and let's say another 30% goes to non-cat losses, AOP losses, you get to a 75 pretty quick. Now then we still have acquisition and overhead. So those numbers can work, and I actually think we beat those numbers. Now in terms of GL, loss in LAE, that program's running right now at about 55. Let's just say 60. Now we still have the same type of acquisition expense and so on, but my point is that 60 is roughly 10 to 15 points better than the homeowners. The big piece about homeowners is there's a huge reinsurance spend. On the GL, we don't have that as much. We actually do cede off everything over $500,000 on our property program and our general liability program. So there is some reinsurance expense there. But my point is the GL is profitable as well. The ratios are distorted just because of that, because of the big cost of reinsurance on property.
Understood. Got it. And now that you are writing around $2 million a week, do you expect that to translate directly into continued revenue growth and earnings growth this year?
Well, there's no doubt, David, that all that premium that comes on our books as unearned premium, and it earns out according to the accounting rules throughout the year. Right now we're doing $2 million. I do anticipate it increasing, and that will earn out correctly. And we're very disciplined with our expenses. Our expenses are not increasing. Our fixed costs are really not increasing at all, and just our variable expenses associated with typical reinsurance, as I said, on these policies, standard, you know, loss and loss adjusting expense and commission to agent. My point is the margin that we expect to keep would actually grow as a percentage of premium with volume as the volume ramps up.
So with volume ramping up, you expect your loss ratios to gradually improve going forward?
Sure. Our business is scalable. I'm not going to say it's a huge variable. Most of our expenses associated with our business is variable expenses, and those will remain flat. But our overhead absolutely will represent a smaller percentage of our premium written, if that answers your question.
Sounds great. And, you know, lastly, you know, currently you have no analyst coverage, but, you know, now that it seems you guys have, you know, almost fully turned the corner and are a very compelling investment opportunity, do you anticipate that to change, or have you guys addressed that or approached by, you know, any analysts in that regard?
Well, we do talk with analysts in terms of in the past. Over the last year, we've interviewed a number of them to have them come on board and help us with get our story out there. We haven't made any decision at this point, but that's something that Pete and I do on a regular basis as well as the board looks at. So I think we have a very good story that's out there, and people are receptive to it as well.
Yeah, I agree on all those points. So, I mean, looking forward to speaking to you guys soon and great quarter.
Thank you, David. Have a great day.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Lee Matheson from Broadview Capital.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. A couple of things. You know, why don't we take it? There's a question earlier about premiums. You know, obviously the average premium decreases as you go north in the state, but you're also at the same time increasing policy limits. And I'm wondering if you could kind of walk us through your view on let's call it PML 100 or PML 250 kind of scenarios.
Sure.
Versus, you know, where you are today versus where you were in 2004. And, you know, obviously just the policy limit number being so big now scares us a bit, but why don't you talk us down
sure.
a bit?
Well, the as we go north in the state, the need for catastrophe reinsurance decreases. And to exaggerate the point, let me say this. If we were to start to write homeowners, not just in Florida, but let's just call it in Ohio, the need for reinsurance for hurricanes would be much less. So you would see our TIV continue to increase, yet our PML not increase at the same rate. So you're right. Our TIV, let's call it about $21 or $22 billion of TIV, yet our PML of, let's say, $250 million, so the more business we put on, it, let's say if we were in Ohio, that would not push our PML up because the storm would not hit both places theoretically at the same time. There's a lower probability, and there's lower probability of a storm hitting Ohio. So let me bring that back to what's actually happening in Florida. So we typically have been a coastal company. We've been typically with concentrations in the Tri-County, which is Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, and the East Coast, up to Volusia, and then on the Southwest Florida, which was Lee Martin, Sarasota, and Charlotte. Now you're looking at us, and if you look at like what's called a heat map of all the counties, you're seeing it light up in most cases, where we have much more exposure in Tampa, St. Pete. Our concerns in the past have been mostly answered. In terms of the panhandle, we're able to write there and be very disciplined. Orlando, there's much more competition over there. However, we're penetrating the market better than we ever have, as well as Jacksonville. So what I'm saying is, as we diversify throughout the entire state, as we are, then the reinsurance models are not raising at the same level as our TIV, as our exposure.
Yes. Okay. So your view is that PML 100 at this point is 250, something like that?
Last year we bought to 250. I would say right now, ballpark, and this is just a rough number, I'm saying it's probably 275. And I think we're probably going to go out to market with looking for around 300. Those are just rough numbers. These have to go through the model, and there has to be an output on that. Those are just very rough numbers. It could be more or less depending on the volume of business that we write, but not only the volume, but the amount of reinsurance needed on those policies. So our focus is on profitability. And like I said, I think the main thing you want to look at is reinsurance as a percentage of premium, which we think we're managing well.
Yeah. Okay. And the and again on the Citizens takeouts, I mean, we would tend to agree with you. Obviously, the market thinks something different. You know, is it I noticed United, who's got a history of pretty solid underwriting, did a small takeout. You know, what's your view on doing them around the edges versus trying to swing for the fences?
Sure. We'll continue to look at it. I can't comment on United or any other company for that matter. However, any company that's sustainable in the state of Florida, anyone who's been here for a long period of time, their primary business is voluntary. Every company that's been here for an extended period of time, their core business is voluntary. I do not believe Citizens Depops is a sustainable business model, so that's why I shy away from them. I don't like those in that regard. But let me say that it does give you a huge short-term earnings. And let me just say, if we were to depop $20 million book of business, and let's just say they were halfway through term, just to be use easy numbers, we have $10 million of unearned premium. And back to my example, let's say there's 50% acquisition and reinsurance expense. That's $5 million that we would realize instantly, and that's very attractive. And we trust me, we look at that and we think about that. However, you're required to keep those policies for 3 years, and I could argue that you would be giving back all of that $5 million over the next 3 years. So
yes, so the game is to just play the daisy chain and keep outpacing the losses on the existing book by taking out a greater and greater number of policies in a November, December take.
Sure. Yeah, and that's my concern. I don't want us to be required to do another depop. And I say required just to be able to sustain our margins. That's a huge increase in margin. If having 50% of your premium as profit, just assuming the book normally would run at 100, that's extremely attractive. That's not lost on us.
Yeah, so it's a quick pop, but then you're sort of got this albatross around your neck for 36 months thereafter.
Yeah, I mean, we did them in 2004 and we did them in 2009, and I think our voluntary business is sustainable and the way to go. We're very comfortable with what we're doing. We think it works, and we think it's the right thing for our shareholders and our policyholders.
Good. And where was statutory capital at the end of the quarter?
At the end of the year, I think we were ballpark 51,
52. 52-1.
52-1.
Yeah, on 12/31.
Okay. You're growing, but you're also, your stat capital is really kind of pounding out here. So.
Absolutely. And what's nice to know also is we have dry powder. And what I mean by that is, just assuming the $52 million, there's no reason why we can't write 5-1. That's $250 million. So let's hope we have a problem in the next 12 months where we may need additional capital because we're writing so much good business. But there's other things we can do, obviously. We can always raise capital. And there's capital out there that comes knocking on our door. But we're not looking to dilute our shareholders needlessly. What we're about is making sure that we reward them. And we have the capital, all the capital that we need to deploy it in a profitable manner, and that's what we're working on.
Good. And what else did I have? Oh, in terms of Tri-County policies, just like my notes, you kind of stopped in Q3 reporting the actual number. Are you below 20%?
We're right at 20%. I believe 19.88, but I'm not certain on that. But let's just call it 20%. And I can tell you that our in-force business you saw in the press release was about 61,000 with bound policies. These are policies that are in transit, and what that means is an agent hit the button and it's yet to come in. Maybe it's effective in a week or 2 weeks, whatever it may be. Our bond policies were already over 70,000 as we're here today. Now agents can bind up to 45 days in advance. So there's another 9,000 policies in transit that has yet to get to us from year end. So what we've gotten on the books since year end plus what's in transit. And I think that number is going to continue to grow.
Sorry, and that growth post Q4, that none of that is Tri-County? Is that what you're implying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we're at about
20. Okay.
Yeah, ballpark 20%. So let's just say at 60,000, let's call it 12,000 ballpark, 12,000 Tri-County. That's a rough number.
And then finally, the $800,000 assessment, did that flow through operating? That flew through operating expenses in the quarter?
Lately it flew through operating expenses.
Okay, so is it fair? I mean, you guys were at basically $10 million in OPEX both years, 2011, 2012, actually kind of flat there since 2009. You can, I mean, to grow the at the written premium rate that you're doing, can you keep the OPEX down in that $10 million range?
Well, as Mike mentioned in the press release, our expenses that we can control, meaning expenses that aren't directly tied to premium, so, you know, our salaries, the building and such, we believe we can hold those flat. I think we, as a percentage of revenue, they decreased by 3% year over year. And I think that in 13, we're going to pretty much hold those flat, the ones we can control. You know, obviously loss and LAE is a percentage of earned premium. Our reinsurance cost is a percentage of earned premium. And then, you know, premium tax and surveys and inspections are all part of a percentage of premium. But the fixed type costs, like I said, they were down 3%. I think we can hold those flat in 2013, excluding, of course, if we get another assessment, we get another assessment.
Lee, to add more color to that, basically the shareholders are getting a lot more premium from our management team, meaning our management team is our expense is being amortized over that much more premium.
Yeah.
The only expenses that we're really incurring is there's additional underwriters, there's additional adjusters, and there's additional field adjusters, but these are all small incremental costs.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and then last question, just on the loss in the quarter, the NLAE was a higher, obviously year over year, but bigger business, but a little bit higher. Was there anything of note in there, any prior period stuff?
Well, there was two things. Your observation that, you know, it's obviously we're taking whatever 30% of a larger number of earned premium, that accounted for about 1.5 of the 2.5 increase, and the other was we settled a GL claim. Associated with drywall for about $1 million that had we've been working on for a while. So basically that's flowed through there also.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks, guys. Well done.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Brad Nelson, a private investor.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
Congratulations on on completing the turnaround, I think.
Thank you.
I just have one question on what everybody has been talking about, laboring here on the Citizens issue. On the last call, you did mention, and I guess that was in October, November, that in December you thought you might have an opportunity to take out some of these Citizen policies. So obviously you made a decision in that 1 or 2 month period. That what made you decide, what made you change your mind in that relatively small time period?
Well, I don't recall what I exactly said on the last call, but we're always aware of Citizens. As a matter of fact, I met with management of Citizens, Barry Gilway and the CFO as well. And, you know, basically they're trying to make it more attractive. Something that's coming down from Citizens is back in the 90s they had something called the Keep Out Program. And what that meant was literally we would drive up to Tallahassee, and then as policies went into Citizens, before the underwriters at Citizens could have them, we could intercept them, and then we could take them and issue them on our policy, on our paper. They're very close to, I think the legislators are going to pass, I believe, it's not passed yet, something similar to that, but in an electronic format. And the biggest reason for Citizens' growth is the State Farm, these captive agents, such as State Farm and Farm Bureau, things like that. So they don't take appointments from private companies. So this, what this would do is set up an exchange where they would go to buying the policies, and basically a private carrier like ourselves could go in and electronically underwrite it and say, we will take that. So if a private carrier gives it a green light, then they would not be eligible for Citizens. Once again, I want to stress this has not yet been approved by the legislative body, but this is what they're considering. If that's the case, this will afford us a huge opportunity to be able to write more business. And once again, the key thing is being able to underwrite these policies on a case-by-case basis to verify the data, for us to go out to the home and verify any information that we want to see firsthand, do a liability inspection, mitigation inspection, I think is very valuable. So I think the Citizens Depop says, as we've known for the last 5 years or so, I think you're going to see that be less and less prominent in Florida.
Okay, thanks for the that was very interesting. One other question is recently, and some of your competitors have announced very large rate increases approved by the state. One was 14%, one was 10%, I think one was 6%. And back in, I guess, August or September, you announced that you had a 4% rate increase. Did you have a, were you on a higher base to begin with, or what are the reasons you think? I'm not trying to compare you to your competitors exactly, but why do you think yours relatively lower than the others?
I'll tell you, it's been a lot of hard work. And to give you more color on that, our rates were, let's call them accurate at one point, and then with what the mitigation credits and HB1A, it really turned things upside down. We all suddenly had mitigation credits that took about 30% of our book, about 29.5% of our premium went away in mitigation credits. It can be argued whether or not those credits were good or bad or right or wrong, but that's a separate issue. We didn't have 29.5% margin in our book, so suddenly we had a big problem, like most people in the state. However, we were more of a coastal carrier, so those with books on the coast have higher wind premium and are hit much harder with wind mitigation credits. So we did have 2 years of big rate increases. One was 20% and one was 19%. Our goal, I'd like to see that our rates don't go up, but by maybe at an inflation rate of 2-3 to 4%. It's based on our underwriting and our losses. And with insurance, you can control frequency of losses, but you can't control severity. I think we're doing a much better job with our underwriting and our risk management and our claims. And I look at that 4% as a victory. Citizens went up about 9%. They're still on a glide path. They're supposed to go up another 9% in January, as in 9 months from now. And some of our competitors are going up 10-15%, and we're becoming that much more attractive. However, we have to remain disciplined to remain competitive. And that means good underwriting, policy by policy, good claims handling, claim by claim. And I do believe that's what we're doing.
That was very informative. And just my last question is, how do you think the general upswing, or maybe it's a slight upswing, in real estate, and I know you mentioned before about new housing, but just in general, in real estate and increasing home prices, does that help you over the midterm?
Sure. In Florida, I don't know if you follow Florida politics a lot, but basically it looks like we may have, excuse me, it looks like Florida, the state of Florida, may have $1 billion surplus. And I'm sure they're going to spend that pretty quick. But what that tells you is the economy is improving in Florida, whether it's tourism or whatever it may be. But real estate's a big part of it. So I think real estate's coming back in Florida. That's clearly helping us on our CGL line. And in terms of homeowners, I do believe it helps us as well. It doesn't necessarily help us on what's called a replacement cost estimator. So let me give you an example. Let's just say the house was built for $300,000. And then the market went crazy, and it went down, and it was sold for $150,000. That's irrelevant to us, what it sold for. We want to have coverage A based on what would it cost to replace that home? What would it cost to rebuild it? So just because the market's disjointed, we want to make sure that we're still through. So as the market went down, a lot of people wanted their insurance to go down, their coverage A, but it didn't. On the flip side, if the market becomes so now as properties go back up, I think you're going to see replacement cost and market value come together, definitely. Now, it could get overheated, and you could see properties becoming worth more than what it is to replace, but we haven't seen that since really, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. But long answer short, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, I think the improved economy and the improved real estate sector is helping our homeowners and GL.
Okay, guys, thanks for the answers, and congrats on the quarter.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. And I'm showing no further questions at this time. I'd like to hand it back over to management for any closing remarks.
Well, Pete and I thank everyone for taking the time to dial in today, specifically all the questions. We continue to remain focused excuse me, on writing good profitable business, and we think we have the team in place and the systems in place, and I'll look forward to 2013. It's starting out strong, and we thank everyone for their support. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes our program. You may all disconnect and have a wonderful day.